Okay, welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 174. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
We are back this week with new stuff, so no special episode this week. Quick programming note before we get going. We will be off next week because I will be in Vegas. And when we come back, we will be starting our Halloween series review. So I'm like insanely excited for that. So while there won't be an episode for a little bit, there will be, it's going to be fun Halloween themed stuff coming up. And, you know, since I have AMC Stubs list, I'm still going to be going to see movies during all this time. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a few movies that will be coming out between now and the new Halloween that I'm for sure going to see and will review, like A Star is Born comes to mind. There's something else, too, I know I really wanted to see. But, oh, The Nun. So we will be reviewing other stuff as well, but, you know, look forward to in-depth reviews of the Halloween films coming up. We're going to do it 2 a week, just like we did last year for Friday the 13th. All that said, Chris, last week you said you might go see the Happy Time Murders, and I said, let me know if it's good, because then maybe I'll go see it. And I did not hear from you, Chris, but you did say that you saw it.
I did see it. I actually saw it today, so...
Oh, okay. There was no time to warn me.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
This is a weird movie. It really is. There are things about it I really like. Directed by Brian Henson, starring Melissa McCarthy, Elizabeth Banks, Maya Rudolph, and then a bunch of people voicing puppets. It's like set up like a film noir type thing, like a hard-boiled detective. Even with like the voiceover, like on a Friday night, like shit like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so fucking absurd, and it's sometimes it gets it. It understands that it's really fucking stupid, and it plays into that, and that's when it's really fun and it's funny. Again, there's no like laugh out loud moments, but like it gets consistent chuckles. There is a whole section in a puppet porn shop that the whole time I'm just going, what the fuck am I watching? And that's kind of what this movie is. It's like that's the question that kind of comes to mind through the first third of this movie. Then it kind of just settles into its regular, like a regular detective story pace, and it kind of loses anything going for it. Like, it still gets the chuckles here and there. There's still some funny moments, but it kind of just plays like a regular, you know, a regular detective story in this vein, and it's nothing special. It's not terrible, but it is certainly not something to rush out and see. It has its moments. I think Maya Rudolph is really good in it. Unfortunately, Melissa McCarthy just isn't given really a whole lot to work with here. And like she has to play off of the puppets for the most part. She seems comfortable doing it. Like she seems like she would fit in working with like the Muppets. But it's nothing great. It's just meh.
Are there legit Muppets or is it like made up ones?
So they're made up ones. It is because the Muppets are owned by Disney now. Yeah. So this is not a Disney movie. This is a Henson alternative movie. The Jim Henson Company is a independent studio, and Henson Alternative is its kind of more experimental division, and that this is what that is. It's experimental, like kind of nutso, but this is not gonna bring. I don't think we're going to get anything more like this anytime soon, because it's just not, it's not nothing special enough. It doesn't have the charm of a Muppets film, and it's not absurd enough that it's like, yes, we want to see more like insanity like that. I remember when Team America World Police came out, this was years ago. And I was like, that was funny, like hysterical, yeah. Laugh out loud, funny. This doesn't hit those notes. And it, at that, if you're not matching up on something that's like 15 years old, like what are you doing? So
I also heard parts of this. I mean, like they've been trying to make this for so long that parts of this might feel 15 years old. At least that's the review. I think Slash Filmcast review. They're talking about how this has been in production for ever.
Wow, it didn't kind of feel that way to me, but I can definitely see where Brian Henson and his crew would have struggled to get funding for this. In fact, it is funded in part by a Chinese conglomerate. That they're doing a lot more films now in the U.S., but the money came from there, I bet, for a large part. So,
is like the actual mystery, like the detective story, like any good at all, or
it's all right. It all kind of ties together nicely. And with an incident that happens kind of before the start of the film, but plays in very much to the relationship between Melissa McCarthy's Detective Edwards and the puppet detective Phil Phillips, who was kind of kicked off the force for this incident, and it all kind of ties back to that in a way. That works and it makes sense and it's not terrible. But I think if you have like followed film noir, or, like if you've ever seen one of them, like you're going to be able to pull this out. It's not like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like you're going to see where this is going probably about halfway through and be able to, I know how this is going to end.
Yeah.
But it's at least fun enough on that side. But overall, this is not worth going to the theater for. If you want to watch it, like if you're interested in it, give it a go when it comes out on video to home.
What if you're like me and it's free?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
I sat there today. I was trying to like when I was leaving the theater, like, would I have been pissed if I had paid for this? And I wouldn't have been pissed, but I certainly would have probably been a little more let down than how I came out of there. Cause I didn't have to pay for it. Like I had already paid my $20 to AMC for the month. They were getting my money regardless of whether I go to see anything this week. There literally was nothing going on this week. Happy time was it.
Yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks in a row for me. Although I looked at my local theater, like my local AMC, their showings for Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a very interesting thing playing on Friday, and that is Jaws.
Huh.
And I don't know if that would be the case by you as well, but like I'm going on vacation Sunday and like I'm working up until then, but I would really like to make it somewhere in there to see Jaws. That would be pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. We are having a Marvel 10th anniversary marathon going on at our theater, so I don't think Jaws is playing there.
Hmm.
2001, I believe, has select screenings on IMAX, but I did not see anything for Jaws.
I've never seen it on the big screen. I would definitely, yeah. It sounds like it would be cool. But I could also just watch it on Amazon Prime or something.
Yep.
So I don't know. What is your verdict?
I'm going to give it a 3. It's a really low 3. It's not terrible, but it's not particularly good either.
All right. I probably won't make it to the theater. Unless my girlfriend remembers that it came out, because I remember, I think she wanted to see it. But it's really easy, because like all you gotta do is like not mention it, and then she'll like never remember that she wanted to see it. So, anyways, and fun side note about Melissa McCarthy. So like after last week, you know, we were talking about how I want to check out some like '90s movies. So I watched a '90s film. I don't know if you remember it. It's called Go.
Yes.
Yeah. She's in there. She's like a teenager in it.
Huh.
1999. She's just like some kid. Like they knock on the door. Someone's looking for somebody and they knock on a door and like this goofy, ditzy teenager answers the door and, you know, tries like talking to the person at the door. And I was like, wait a second. That's her, dude. Like, it's her, but she looks like, I don't know, maybe 18, you know?
Wow.
It's a fun little find. And that movie is still a pretty fun movie. It's, like, really weird. It's, like, one of those, it's, like, three different stories, and they, like, intersect and shit. Yeah. And it has some funny moments. But anyways, I also saw a film I really wanted to see in the theater, but it didn't come to me, and that is Upgrade.
Okay.
From this year. It was out a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Directed by Lee Whannell, I think.
Yep, of Saw fame.
Yes. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, but yeah. And starring Logan Marshall Green. And this is like a sci-fi action movie. In the vein of, say, something like RoboCop or something like that, right?
Okay.
You know, where it's sci-fi, but with a focus on action and kind of over-the-top violence at points. And pretty simple story. Like, you know, this guy and his wife are driving home one night, and they get, like, jacked by these criminals, and she gets killed, and he ends up paralyzed. And he eventually gets approached by like this billionaire tech guy, and you know the dude makes the offer of like, we could implant this fucking like this little like chip in your spine. And it looks like a little roach almost. And he's like, we could put this in your spine, and you know, it'd be like a computer that can make your brain can make your body work, and you know, hence the upgrade of the title. And right. He becomes like, you know, a killing machine because of it, because he's got like this computer, like if he wants to fight people, he could just say to the computer, like, hey, computer, take over. And the computer just like runs his body for him and fucking, you know, super efficient and brutal. Like, and it's like all the things that you would think from like that description, right? Like,
right.
And pretty fun and definitely like type of movie that I really enjoy. But I think on top of that, like, it is a lot smarter than you would expect, I think, going in. Like, it has some real sci-fi meat to its, you know, its DNA here. Like, it's interested in, like, how having a computer in you, like, what that interaction would be like. You know, it has some fun with that. More than just, I guess, a little more than what I expected. It's a little more clever than I thought it would be. You know, really stylized camera work. Like I said, some like nice, you know, these like little fight scenes end with usually like a big punctuation mark of like someone's head exploding or something, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a good time. It's like I said, smarter than I thought, and also very impressive. Like it feels like a future sci-fi world, like where like some of the cars look like super futuristic and shit. And this thing was done on like a $5 million budget. So I'm like, how do they do this? Like this thing looks like, I don't know, minimum like a $20 million movie or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I was impressed just on like the technical aspect alone. I was like, man, how did they pull this shit off on cheap like this? I guess there was like a thing or two I didn't love. I thought like the final, like just the end, like this is the type of movie that needed to end like Brawl in Cell Block 99, where someone's fucking head like explodes and that's like the final shot. Like that's what this type of movie called for. And it has this like a really traditional slow-mo like character walking towards the camera as it fucking fades out into black. Wow. Like ending. I'm just like, what? Like this, the rest of this movie was so like punchy and clever and like, I don't know.
Goes with the cliche like action movie ending.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it just felt way less creative than the rest of it. There's a twist that I saw coming from like the very beginning, but then there's also another twist on top of that I actually thought was pretty clever too. You know, I can't really say much about it other than that. Some people would say that me saying there's a twist is spoilers, so sorry, but I think it's worth mentioning because, like, you know, Javi, our friend Javi said he didn't like the ending of it, and I have yet to really get back to him, but like what he meant by that, like, because if he means he doesn't like the final shot, I agree, I don't like the final shot. If he's saying that like he didn't like the final twist, like the way like the story ended, I would disagree with him there. I like the final twist. I think it's, like I said, pretty clever. This is definitely recommend, man. A lot of fun. So I'm going to give it 4 stars.
Nice. I'm going to add that to my watch list, see if I can pick it up from Redbox or something.
Yeah, definitely. I bought it on Blu-ray just because it just seems super obvious to me that like this is a movie I would enjoy. I don't regret it. I'm sure I'll watch it again. It's cool. It's fun. I do think the Blu-ray fucking, I've never seen, like, there's nothing. There's not even a trailer you can watch on it. It is bare bones. It has, like, movie audio settings. What the fuck? Why even bother releasing this shit on Blu-ray? Like, I don't know. Anyways, really fun movie, though.
Nice. Definitely to be watched.
You went and watched some 90s movies too after we talked last week, huh?
Yeah. Not necessarily on purpose to watch a 90s movie, but I've had a little while ago, I bought the Warlock Trilogy box set, which is like, it's just in like a DVD slipcase. By Blu-ray slipcase, and the Wishmaster Blu-ray set, which has all 4 movies. I watched Warlock a couple months ago and talked about it here. And so now I'm finally like, you know what? Let's finally crack into Wishmaster. Wishmaster is a movie that I remember seeing probably back in, like, maybe when it came out in the theaters, 97. I remember liking it back then, but woo, this watch, it was bad. This is a bad movie. I think it also has a $5 million budget, but $5 million for a horror movie in 1997 was actually a pretty big budget. It blows all of that in like the opening shot, like the opening scene, which is this, it's this scene of mayhem and really cool practical effects going on in
like ancient genie bullshit, right?
Yeah, like the sultan, he makes a wish, and the genie, the jinn, he likes to twist words. So if you don't word your wish very specifically, he will do whatever he can to kind of screw with you. And he starts turning all of his, all the Sultan's subjects into monsters and demons and you know, having their skin ripped off. And there's some really, really cool practical effects in this opening, like 5 minutes or so. And then the film flashes forward to present day and it takes a shit. Like it is.
And that's like 5 minutes in, right?
Yeah. Like 5 minutes, like, and actually like that first 5 minutes, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be pretty cool. Like there's some really cool practical effects. Like there's some early CG going on here, but it actually still looks pretty good. And then it jumps to forward where Robert Englund is like some business guy, like some rich dude that collects statues. Like they completely waste Robert Englund here. And the statue falls off of the dock and it cracks open. And inside is this gem. And inside the gem is the evil genie. And somebody steals the gem and it ends up with a appraiser who just so happens to know somebody at the local college that can put it under a, you know, an imaging device in a lab, which unleashes the genie on the world. And he just starts going around causing, like, you know, killing people via wishes. But it's never fun from that point on.
I was going to say, and greatest movie ever, right?
It's just stupid and boring. I dozed off twice watching it. Like, this wasn't like, oh, I'm going to put this on at like 11:30 at night. And so, like, I started watching this at like 7. I should have been awake. About 40 minutes in, I fell asleep. And then I woke up. I'm like, what the hell happened? Had to go all the way back to where I was. And then I fell asleep again. It just could not hold my attention. I want to compare it to Warlock because I bought them at the same time, but Warlock is so much more of a fun movie. Like it's dumb. It's not particularly great, but it has fun with it. Like this guy, the Wishmaster, the evil genie, like he seems like he wants to be a mix of like Freddy and Pinhead. Where he's like, he wants to have like the quips of Freddy, but also the I want to grant humanity torture by my magic, and except he's not as funny as Freddy, and his way of torturing people isn't anywhere near as interesting as what Clive Barker does with Pinhead. So it's just dull. Yeah, it's just a really dull movie. Like, and they made 4 of these.
Yeah.
This one bears Wes Craven's name.
Wes Craven Presents.
Yeah, he executive produced it. It was directed by Robert Kurtzman, who has done tons of like special effects for horror over the years, but. He has not directed a ton of stuff.
I recognize his name, but
like if you saw like the movies that like if you look at his IMDb page, yeah, he comes up as being in the makeup department for 108 movies, and you like scroll through that, like you will have definitely seen some of the movies he's worked on. And then he's done 50 movies where he worked on special effects. And so the guy's been around, like we've seen his stuff. He is just not a very prolific, not a very prolific director. He's done Wishmaster was his second film, I guess. And he's never done anything that I guess has been very big outside of this. Maybe.
Are there like, good kills in it at all?
Not really. I'm trying to like remember anything that was like
like, I can't even remember this.
Like, so there is one. There is a this homeless guy gets kicked out of a pharmacy, or he's like begging outside of the pharmacy, and the manager kind of like kicks him out and tells him like he can't beg in front of this store, and he starts walking down an alleyway, and down the alleyway is the Wishmaster, and the Wishmaster basically like he's like, hey, what would you give to get your revenge on him? Like, would you give me your soul? He's like, yeah, like whatever. Like, haha, dude. And he's like, all right. So he like, and he's like, how would you do it? And he just like blurts out cancer, and this dude, the pharmacy guy, he gets cancer in like a minute, and his blood, like his skin just starts boiling over, and he starts going into like terminal death, like immediately. It's actually pretty like that one actually is pretty cool, but it's not like there's nothing scary, right? It's just like, oh, well, I'm gonna snap my fingers and shit's gonna happen. Like, he's basically Thanos, and like he doesn't have to do anything because his power is magic, which makes it a little boring. Because there's no real way to fight magic without magic. And ultimately, the way she, like the hero of the story, the way she figures it out is she uses his phrasing of wishes against him to trick him. So it's like she basically has to trick him. Like, she basically has to trick him back into the lamp, right? Like, it's a really bad movie, and I am sadly sitting here thinking I should watch those other three.
I mean, we're horror fans. We do this to ourselves. It's funny. Like, I'm the same way as you. I saw it in the theaters, like, way back. Wes Craven was hot at the time, even though this wasn't Wes Craven. I don't know if I was as savvy to that.
And I think that's probably what happened with me at the time too, was like, I remember around the same time, Quentin Tarantino was like doing a lot of like sticking his name on stuff.
He did that too. Yeah. But like, and I think I knew he didn't direct it, but I was like, I think I figured he had a higher level involvement than he probably really did. You know?
Right. Yeah.
But I remember it not being like amazing back then. But I remember, like, you know, I was kind of a defender of it. I was like, it's kind of fun. Like I was telling you before, there's this guy on F This Movie podcast who, like, I can't remember his name, but he like really digs Wishmaster. So I'm happy one of us was the guinea pig and went to revisit that.
Well, I mean, to each their own with people's opinions, but yeah, I did not like it.
How many stars?
I'm gonna go 2 because it is at least watchable. Okay. And it has that pretty cool opening sequence. So,
all right, yeah, I watched like on Hulu, I watched I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Okay,
and I kind of remember it being like that being one of the better ones, like in the wake of Scream or whatever.
Yeah.
Kind of. I thought it was really bad.
Really?
Yeah. I thought, like, it's just fucking stupid mystery Scooby-Doo nonsense.
Yeah.
You know, like, it, none of it, it's like Scream without any of the wit or any, like, anything that made Scream good. It's just, here's some fucking teen actors from the time that were big, and this really glossy thing where, like, there's, like, not any good fucking kills in that thing. Maybe I wasn't, I mean, I was half paying attention, probably. I was probably playing Dead Cells while I was, or Dead Cells while I was watching it, but
right.
I didn't see anything, like, remotely interesting, even in terms of kills. Like, at least, and a lot of times, that's one thing you could at least take away from a bad slasher movie or whatever, but these things were, like, at least this movie, it was, like, toothless. It just, I don't know. It felt like a giant waste. I went and rated it on Letterboxd 1.5 stars because it was just like, and that was one I think I had it already rated on there as 2 stars, but like, yeah, that thing's no good. I did see one other new thing, also on Hulu, called a documentary called Minding the Gap. Have you heard of this at all?
No.
Okay. It just released on Hulu. Looks like the poster says August 17th. It is made by this young first-time director, Bing Liu, who is from Rockford, Illinois, which is the city that is closest to me, like from the city I'm at. Okay, so I live in DeKalb, Illinois, which is famous for, I think there was a mass shooting here in 2008. We invented barbed wire. We invented Cindy Crawford.
All right.
But anyways, about a half hour away from here is Rockford, Illinois, which is like a bigger, I guess, city in Illinois, in kind of like rural Illinois, that is like kind of going down the tubes or whatever.
Okay.
So, like, this is, like, when I have to go see, like, a movie that's not going to be everywhere, I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, like, Upgrade, I would have to drive to Rockford. I'm trying to think of what I drove. I drove to Rockford to see Mission Impossible on IMAX. So, this is, like, right next door to me. A lot of my friends are from here. So, like, that made me interested to see this movie. It's like, oh, this guy who made it is from Rockford. And started watching it, and it's about him and his, like, him and two of his other friends just growing up in Rockford over the course of, like, 10 years. And that's kind of, like, all it is, but I think it's really well done. Like, again, like, I think I have, like, there's, like, a more interest to me just because of the proximity I have to, like, the material or whatever.
Right, yeah.
But, pretty well made documentary for a first timer. Like, it looks great. And it's like these three, like, skateboarding friends who, you know, most of the movie takes place over the course of like 3 or 4 years as they're adults. You know, and it has a lot of snippets that of when they're younger, because when this kid was a kid, he always wanted to be a filmmaker. So he's always recording them as they're fucking around and shit. But most of it's them in their early 20s and kind of just dealing with the transition from being, you know, a kid to being an adult. There is also a theme that runs through the whole film about domestic violence, though, like abuse. And that plays out in different ways in kind of each of these guys' lives. So it does feel like this Bing Liu, this guy, is like trying to tackle a lot of things here. But I think, like, you know, there's a moment where they're hanging out and one of his friends is black, one of the three friends is black, and then like one of their other mutual friends, like this white guy, is around trying to claim that, like, you know, I think it's something like black people are not targeted by police, like something like that. Like, there's just a scene where it just happens, but it's like this movie just kind of touches on a lot of shit like that. But I think he does a good job of balancing it all and, like, really driving home kind of the central, like, two things of growing up and then cycles of, like, domestic abuse. Pretty impressive for, like, a young first-time filmmaker. I would check it out. Like I said, it's on Hulu. All right. I think it's good even if you're not from Rockford, but if you live, you know, around here in Illinois. Like, I know I have a couple of you know, friends locally here that listen to this show, I would say check out Minding the Gap. And if you don't have Hulu, you could just get a trial, you know. I'm going to give it 4 stars. It was really actually a good documentary, I thought.
Okay.
One last thing I saw is another documentary on HBO called John McCain, For Whom the Bell Tolls. And this was made after he found out he was, you know, dying of cancer. And I think it's kind of based on the book he put out as well. I think he did put out a book right before he died.
Okay.
You know, kind of bummed out about his death or whatever earlier this week. I wasn't like I'm a hardcore Democrat. If you know me, you know that. But you know, I've always respected McCain. I thought he earned it for one with his sacrifice in the Vietnam War. But yeah, so I was just in the mood to see something good about him. If you want to see something like well produced, here's an HBO documentary they just put out about his life. And just kind of, yeah, it kind of goes through his whole life, you know, hitting like all like the big points, like obviously when he got captured in Vietnam, you know, him running for Congress for the first time, some of his accomplishments in the Senate, his 2000 run, I think it was 2000, yeah, his 2000 run and how that played out. And how Bush did some like kind of dirty tactics against him, 2008, and then it kind of ends, you know, with today or whatever, and the fact that he knows he's. I don't know. I think it's generally really well done. It's kind of what you would expect—a bunch of people talking about him and
right.
And how, you know, how awesome he is, and you know, if you, you know. I, like I said, I respect the guy, and I'll just say this before we move on. I do think, like, some of the reaction I saw from people on Twitter or on the left, like, to him dying, is just like, dude, he's not deserving of, like, I don't know, not everyone's deserving of that level of fucking condemnation and shit. Like, I don't know, this is how I feel about it, but, you know, I think you have to make distinctions between someone like John McCain and someone like Donald Trump. There's a huge difference between
them. Yeah, they're not the same.
Yeah. And yeah, I'd say this is worth watching. I'd rate this 4 stars as well.
So, nice. That's on HBO?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a handful of stuff that's all actually pretty new and pretty accessible. I'd say check out. Chris, watch Upgrade, man.
Yeah, we'll try and watch that in the 2 weeks we have off.
Yep. Yeah, so we won't be back next week, but we'll make up for it with the Halloween season beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to try and see some of the new movies coming out. So.
Yeah, there's stuff coming. Like, there's The Nun. I know I want to see that. I know that's pretty soon.
Yeah, I want to see The Nun. Well, there's a Searching actually hits my theater this week. So I'm going to try and hit that up. It's not really a World War II movie. I think it's called what the hell is it called? Operation Finale, which has Oscar Isaac. Yeah. That seemed pretty interesting. I might try and hit that up. And this movie looks terrible. But I want to kind of go see the new Jennifer Garner movie, Peppermint.
I'd watch it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Jennifer Garner. This movie looks like dog shit, but I'm down to
bad.
I'm down to see her doing action again. That's kind of where I knew her from initially. It was her breakout on Alias. On ABC, the 5 seasons that she was there. So,
never watched it.
So, yep. And then obviously, Halloween. What, 1 and 2?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I mean, spoilers. Obvious though. Those are the best two in the series.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's gonna be fun. No fun debating episode. That. I mean. Maybe my mind will be changed by rewatching it this time, and we'll see. But I've seen these movies hundreds of times, basically. So I pretty much know how I feel. Like, it's going to be nice to revisit them all in order. I don't usually do that. Like, you know, every Halloween I'll sit down and watch 1 through fucking whatever the fuck.
Right.
But I've seen them all just a bajillion times. But... although, you know, I take that back. I've seen Halloween Resurrection like once. So
yeah, that could be fun to go back to.
See how my opinion shifts on this. I don't know. I'm looking forward to this a lot. I had a lot of fun doing Friday the 13th last year, and now we're doing at least when I was a kid, Halloween was like that was my favorite of the three. So, you always been Friday the 13th guy? Like that?
No, I mean I'm more actually a Halloween guy.
Are you?
I do like Friday the 13th, but yeah, like out of the big three, I would choose Halloween. So this is going to be fun.
Like, I don't know. I think as an adult now, yes, obviously Halloween is always just going to be like the one, the favorite in my heart. Like, I can't wait to see the new one, right? Like, it's my favorite horror series. But as an adult, like, when I've watched some of the shittier ones as an adult, I'm like, these are kind of lame and they don't even have like good kills and shit. It's like, at least Friday the 13th are like, I don't know. You get what you want out of them, and most of them are pretty fucking fun. And we, like, and you got some like really bonkers bad ones too. So
this is true.
But I don't know. Like I said, I'm just excited. So when we come back, it's gonna be a little extra weight here, but we'll be back with Halloween goodies.
All right,
movie dudes.